boys. It's been a while. It's been a long time. It's been a week. Actually, it's been over a week, I think. But we're back. Better. Perhaps better than ever.
We're just really happy to be back.
Oh, we're... Because... I'm pumped right now.
Oh, man, dude. I'm just happy to be here. I know I sound like Phil Kessel from the All-Star Game, but I'm just really happy to be, like, home. We're home. We're in familiar surroundings.
All right. Do we just want to go completely no plan?
Let's just talk.
Well, we were talking U.S. and Finland.
Well, we were going to.
Yeah, but let's just...
And we can...
Let's just go in on the beat.
Yeah.
Because, well, like, we could talk... I think we can mix in all the stuff we kind of want to talk about. I guess, what are some big news that happened?
Captaincy is awarded.
Yeah, because McDavid named captain of U23.
And, you know, he's, you know, he didn't say it, but, you know, projecting a trial run for Edmonton.
Okay, and then who else is there?
I know, Joe Pavelski, Team USA.
No, I mean, what other news?
I mean, technically, yesterday was the formal announcement for that. But
I mean, is that it, though? Was there anything NHL related? No signings.
I mean,
people. I mean,
I thought something happened.
Darren Dreger said that Chris Russell.
Chris Versteeg.
Both.
Oh, Russell has a few teams talking to him.
No, he has like teams with serious interest.
Eight teams, and then Versteeg is coming back because he failed his physical.
Like Chris Russell.
No, he didn't. No, it was.
That's what I read.
No, he didn't fail. No, he did not. Well, it's tied in.
Now let me be clear.
Hold on, it's insurance related.
Let me be clear.
Okay.
Because of the injury history, he couldn't get full insurance coverage or whatever.
All right. Okay.
And then...
Versteegologist.
I believe Versteeg and his camp said that it was insurance related, and the league said... Not the NHL. What was he playing in?
The league. The
Swiss?
Yeah.
The Swiss league?
Yeah, the Swiss league.
They said that it was injury related.
By the way, I'm not going to edit this out. This is the Garage Hockey Podcast. Welcome. Felix isn't during the intro. I'm not cutting this out. We're going off the cuff. And welcome. And now we can continue.
All right.
Also, right after we posted the last podcast, Radko Gudas, Tomáš Hertl, and David Krejci all dropped out for the Czech Republic.
That's right. Yeah, Czech Republic, man. I was so high on them. I had a bit of a... checkered past with Team Czech Republic.
Oh man! Wait, hold on.
Is that a dad joke or is that?
If you're going to make jokes like that, we need to invest in a soundboard.
Yeah, because we need crickets. Need crickets.
That's a little messed up.
Especially coming from you, Joe, who just absolutely embraces the dad jokes.
Hey, I should know.
I mean, he does have the daddiest beard of all of us.
I mean, but, I would not describe it that way if I was, you know, talking to a woman, but whatever.
Before this takes an interesting turn, we're back. It's been a while. It's been like, what, a week? Actually, maybe more than a week.
Nah, I think it's been about a week.
But it feels like much longer. A lot has happened since.
Yeah.
In our personal lives.
Not really.
In our...
No, but really.
Yeah. Nick started a new job working at a prestigious tech firm.
Yeah.
We won't disclose it for personal matters.
Yeah.
It's an upper body job.
Yeah. Upper body. It's going to take accurate. It's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to figure out how it's going to go.
But he's got a new job. He's making more money. It's good times. You know, we had a fun night last weekend. That's actually probably why we didn't record a podcast, is because we decided to go out. I enjoyed a little too much. I remember about 75% of the night.
There's video evidence that none of you will see.
Yes. Yeah. But we're back. And the World Cup is upon us. Hockey is being played. Hockey Twitter is abuzz. I think we made it. Like we're past the dog days of summer. Well, I guess it's still technically summer. But yeah. Hockey's being played.
We finally just made it to new hockey games.
Yeah, new hockey games. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, where games are being played and we don't know the outcome.
Like so. we have new content.
Yes, we have new content and some stuff going on. Connor McDavid named captain of Team North America. Bit of a bold move. I don't know if I can sugarcoat that.
Really, the coach of North America, also the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, yes. Named Connor McDavid, the future face of the NHL, the captain of an 8-game tournament?
Yeah, I'll also have you notice that the Edmonton Oilers official Twitter account tweeted out, "Congratulations, Connor. Great pick." It's like, I wonder how Milan Lucic is feeling about this tweet.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Nah, Connor McDavid will be the captain of the Oilers. I mean, if his own coach is picking him captain, it would be a little weird if he doesn't end up being the actual captain over in Edmonton.
Because the thing is, if they wanted to name someone with more experience captain just to give McDavid more time to warm up and learn that role, they would have to give it to someone for 1 or 2 years, at the most. So it's kind of like a bridge captaincy, if you will. But who on that roster would you really give it to?
I mean, before we start talking about the Oilers too much, because I don't want to lose 50% of our audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, McDavid's getting it. But let's talk World Cup, because that's what's happening here and now. Not actually here. Not actually now, but, you know, in the present.
Relatively.
Yes, relatively. We actually, before we were recording this podcast, we were watching as a group, as a line. We're the first line. You know, shout out to the Fourth Line podcast, but we're the First Line podcast. We're the scorers, baby.
We're the only line.
We're the ones with the beauty dangles as who was the announcer?
No. It's
oh man,
his name is escaping me right now. But he's the one who does the TSN local Habs, or back when they did local Habs games. I forgot his name.
Man,
but
doesn't
matter. As a line, we were watching Team Europe. Taking on Team North America in a rerun on NHL Network. Shout out to the reruns for those of you who don't have ESPN, which is me.
You.
And really,
I don't know why I don't have... I mean, there's no... Like, as a hockey fan... No, seriously. As a hockey fan, what is the point of me having ESPN?
None. There's none.
Zero.
I mean, unless you want to see Barry Melrose talk for 5 minutes on SportsCenter.
About the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. Five minutes a week.
Well, yeah. The Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, you're talking about the Patty Kane.
Don't forget about the Calgary Flames.
Wait, does he really say that?
He says that.
Okay, so that's weird. You know, shout out to the Puck Soup podcast. I was just listening today at work while I was working, but
for a change.
But they were saying, or they were asking the question, was, and I guess this is a poor segue, but I'm gonna steer the ship in this direction.
You know what? It's 11:30 p.m.
It's 11:30 p.m.
It's fine.
It's a bit of an impromptu podcast, but John Tortorella made some comments this week.
Ugh.
And we're not gonna dive too deep into this, but he said basically, if one of my, and this is like in a response to the Colin Kaepernick fiasco in the NFL, where he refused to stand for the national anthem, he said, if one of my players, and this isn't a direct quote, this is me paraphrasing, if one of our players were to sit during the national anthem, I would bench him for the entire game. And the Pug Soup podcast duly noted, because Stephen A. Smith went on a tirade on First Take about this, and they were asking, is this the first time that the World Cup of Hockey has been discussed on ESPN outside of SportsCenter? And I thought that was an interesting question, because if you think about it, for a lot of people who might have been thinking about watching this thing, this is now their first entry point into the tournament, is this dumb, idiotic John Tortorella comment.
Yeah, like I noticed that with the very first game that ESPN televises is on ESPN2.
Which says a lot.
There wasn't anything else going on during that time slot.
Yeah.
And it's still on ESPN2. Like,
yeah.
If you want, like, you bought the rights to this. Like, you won. Yeah, you know, you beat out NBC and whichever other network was vying for this. And
there might have been a long line.
And you're putting it on ESPN2 instead of just pushing it, trying to,
maximize it.
Yeah, you know, maximize your, you know, the, your,
I mean, what else is on ESPN2? Like, college water polo? I don't know.
The World Series of Poker?
Tomorrow, the U.S. and Canada. U.S. and Canada, even though the games don't count in the tournament yet, it's U.S. and Canada. ESPNU, where they...
Wait,
What?
That's a joke, right?
No.
What?
It's on ESPNU.
ESPNU is like...
college.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... like the U stands for university, doesn't it?
I mean, this is a college game in the sense that Joe Pavelski did go to college.
This is the Garage Hockey Podcast.
And Jonathan Taves.
Yeah.
Captain.
Yeah. I don't know.
North Dakota.
But you know what? I'm just really glad that Colin Kaepernick sat for the anthem to bring awareness to the World Cup of Hockey. Thank you. Thank you, Colin. I mean, your message sent and received. Am I right, guys? High five. Come on, guys.
But for those who aren't here, which is everyone, there were some high fives going around this table. But and another really cool point that I thought they made on the Puck Soup podcast, and Puck Soup, I know you're listening. I'm sorry I'm stealing all your points, but it was a great podcast. You know, we're trying to live in this podcast community.
And we already like Wyshynski and Lozo anyway, so we're happy to give them a plug, even though they don't need it as badly as we do.
Oh, yeah, they definitely don't need it. So, yeah, the excellent point they made was that it's such an NHL move that 2 weeks later, after this huge national story happens, then the hockey world catches wind of it and it becomes a story in hockey circles. It's just like classic, you know, fourth place NHL.
Yeah.
Sort of like late to the party. Yeah. So yeah, the fact that this was a story, the fact that Tortorella is moronic enough to say something like that when Team USA is battling for its respectability on the international stage. I know that they've been doing better at the junior level, but they got embarrassed in Sochi.
Badly.
They got their hearts ripped out of their chests in 2010 in Vancouver. So, like, this tournament kind of means something for USA Hockey. So for him to put his politics above the success of the team, I think is completely selfish and just sort of antithetical to the whole purpose of what they're trying to accomplish here in this World Cup.
Yeah.
So,
And it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere, and it didn't, because like Joe was saying...
Well, someone asked him a question.
Someone surely asked him a question, but it's just like, that kind of question is someone just prodding, looking
but
for...
But he's an adult, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, supposed to be.
Like, I did not see what led up to it, but I'm sure a reporter asked him the question, and he gave them the response that they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course he did.
Yeah, that's why they asked him. Well, they knew he would.
They knew he would.
I'm just saying, it doesn't make it any better.
Oh, no.
He said it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and I guess this leads us, moving on from this story, because I think the Kaepernick thing has been beat to death. I think it's pretty clear-cut, Tortorella. Like, sure, you know, and I saw some people... That I'm friends with on social media, you know, sharing Tortorella's quote in a positive light.
It's like,
oh, look at him standing up for our soldiers as if like they need a hockey coach on ESPNU
to stand up for them.
Hockey coach on ESPNU. Oh my god!
I like that you threw that in there.
Yeah. Nice. No, but so moving on from that, Team USA. We've been doing a World Cup preview. Due to scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to be as, I guess, timely with our predictions.
Or consistent.
Our previews. So we're going to be a little bit more informal about it. Team USA is not looking too good going to this tournament.
Even though
they... Let's put it that way.
Even... Who was it specifically that said that they're built to beat Canada?
You know, I don't know.
I saw that...
Does it even matter?
No, it really doesn't. But I saw that quote thrown out there that they're built to beat Team Canada. And looking up and down Team USA's roster, they do not look like they're built to beat Team Canada.
They went for that style in the Olympics, and it backfired. And then they doubled down on it when they constructed the World Cup roster.
Mm.
And, you know, if they fail again, and, you know, they failed miserably last time, so just failing would be an improvement.
Yeah, because you look at Team USA's roster, and it's built the way that NHL rosters used to be built for success 5, 10, 15 years ago, where you have your skill guys at the top, and then you balance it out with the grinders at the bottom, guys like Abdelkader.
Yeah, you think Boston when they won in 2011 when they beat Vancouver.
Right, but those days are kind of gone. And it's more about skill on all four lines, which is what's really impressive about when you look at Team Canada and Team North America, where they can come at you with skill on every line, and probably say the same about Team Sweden. But USA, they went with that more old school kind of mentality, and I just don't think it's going to keep up.
Yeah, yep. And so the forward lines that we've been seeing that have been reported on so far, and this is obviously going to change, but right now their first line is excellent. Like, it's a world-class first line. And, I mean, USA does, like, we're definitely down on Team USA, but at the same time, there is talent.
It's not all bad.
It's not all bad. Their first line, and, you know, this is via USA Hockey, so, you know, it might not be the most up-to-date. This was posted 2 days ago. Max Pacioretty with Pavelski and Kane.
I'm all about that. Yeah.
So, I get the sense that they're not going to put all those guys in the same line.
Because it would
be a little weird.
Because that would be extremely top heavy.
But those three guys are like great players, like legitimately top tier players in the NHL at any level. Pacioretty is one of the best goal scorers, best shooters. Pavelski, a great goal scorer,
and
just a great offensive player,
really good passer. Like, his vision on the ice, you know, like, there's a reason why when he first came into the league, he was called Little Joe
and
Joe Thornton.
Yeah, and Patrick Kane. Yeah, you know, we all know Patrick Kane and his level of skill. But then after that, it's just the drop-off in talent is insane. So on the second line, you've got Zach Parise, Derek Stepan, and Blake Wheeler.
Right.
And
I like Parise and Wheeler.
And those are, like, Stepan is definitely the weakest link to me on that line.
Agreed.
Wheeler, I think, is a legitimately good goal scorer.
Yes.
Parise is... he's good. I think he's definitely on the downturn of his career, but he's still a quality player.
He is.
I think him being on the second line isn't...
it's not egregious.
It's not egregious.
It's, I mean, it's maybe not ideal, but it's not unfounded.
But when you go from Max Pacioretty to Zach Parise and then Pavelski to Stepan, that's clearly a step down.
Can I get a high five for it though? I respect.
It's interesting that if the first game against Canada tomorrow, probably today when this goes up,
Friday, September 9th,
when the lineups come out, if that line stays the same, it'll be interesting because you have Parise, who's, even though he's a skilled, very skilled player, he's a grinder. He goes to the net.
He's a small area player.
And, you know, he gets a lot of dirty goals, much like Corey Perry, just, you know, throw himself at the front of the net. And
but Corey Perry's like 5 inches taller.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And then you have Blake Wheeler, one of the better power forwards in the league,
with a lethal wrist shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how those two would play off of really anyone that you pair with them.
Yeah.
You know, Stepan.
Is Stepan even, is he the second line center for the Rangers?
I think he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
injuries have affected the depth chart.
It kind of cracks me up that he's the second line center, whatever, like at best for the Rangers, and Canada has like 10 first line centers.
God, I'm playing wing.
I know. But so let's move forward, because this is the fun part, at least for me, as a Canadian. Justin Abdelkader, Ryan Kesler, TJ Oshie. I'm gonna say this: that might not even be a good line in the NHL.
Well,
much less in the World Cup of Hockey.
I don't know.
Because Abdelkader is, like, okay. Kessler is okay. And Oshie's kind of the same thing.
When you're building a team, and if you're going to throw Abdelkader in that roster, I don't know why he's playing any higher than the fourth line.
Why is he...
right.
Yeah, why is he even on the team when, you know... anyway.
Because he's there... like, he's not there for his skill. He's there for the style of game he plays.
Which is dirty.
And
it's dirty.
And he's a streaky scorer.
Which,
but, like, not consistently streaky.
His streaks aren't very long, and his goalless streaks are longer.
Yeah.
He should not be playing significant minutes.
You could have stopped at playing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But he should not be above James Van Riemsdyk.
No. Yeah, so, and then... why do you have to spoil, like, the fourth line, man?
Maybe...
you know what? That was only 33% of the fourth line.
Yeah. But that line as a whole bothers me. Because I think Oshie... I'm not super sold on TJ Oshie. Is it kind of... okay.
You can say it.
Is it kind of telling that the biggest moment in his career was when he was the only skater on the ice?
I mean...
like, there's no one to, like, defend or check him or... I don't know. Like, I think he's a decent, you know, like, skilled forward. I just don't think he brings a ton of scoring to the table. And I think he's not really, like, driving the bus.
I think he may be a little overrated for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the primary, he's not the primary driving force offensively on whichever line, wherever his linemates are.
But, you know, on a third line, I don't mind TJ Oshie. It's not the end of the world. I just don't think it's, if you're going into a supposedly best-on-best tournament, you know, maybe someone should have told Team USA management, like, hey, guys, just so you know, we're labeling this best on best, so bring your best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone did tell him that, and this is what they came up with.
Defiantly, yeah. With TJ Oshie, I've been, it was when, the U.S. beat Russia, when TJ Oshie beat Russia in the shootout in the Olympics, that was awesome. And
yeah, it was cool. It was a cool moment. He took, six shots in a row?
Yeah, and then they play Finland for bronze, and...
Mail it in.
No, not mail it in. He gave up. Like, he stopped caring about the game.
Along with the rest of his team.
When he started taking
penalties... That Ron Wilson-led team?
Yeah.
Who did not know the names of Team Russia's players.
Yeah, that's enough. Well,
that hurt my feelings.
It's a fireable offense, and he was not brought back, so... Indeed, fireable.
But instead replaced by Tortorella, so...
Ugh.
Shunt sideways.
Who would you rather have? On a quick side note, / thought exercise...
I'd rather walk into traffic than have both those coaches.
I mean, pick your poison.
I mean, dude, Ron Wilson gave the Sharks homework.
I think Ron Wilson is not a good coach, and I think Tortorella is, garbage. I don't really know how to differentiate those two.
So, one of them is a landfill and the other is compost, or...
Yeah. You know... But you know what? That's not even fair to compost, because compost actually gets used.
True. That's true.
Compost has further uses. I think Tortorella is a dead end.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, okay, sure, he won the Stanley Cup in 2003-04 with a loaded team.
Really good team.
By the way. And they had to go to 7. But since then, his teams haven't done a damn thing.
Yeah.
Not even close. So, for Team USA brass to be like, yeah, this is our man. Give me a break.
Yeah.
And for the Columbus Blue, people think this guy can coach. It's like, do they just not care about results? It's so funny because hockey is always you'll hear hockey people say, oh, it's all about winning. You know, it's a results-based industry.
Yeah.
Why don't you look at the results with this guy? His teams don't win since that Stanley Cup. And if they do win, it's at a mediocre level.
Right. I don't know. It's like what we've talked about before with familiarity, but that's not a justification at all.
Yeah,
just because you're familiar with something bad doesn't mean that that bad thing should be used.
It's like, I know this ex-girlfriend's going to hurt me, so I'm going to go back because I'd rather get hurt than deal with the potential of not getting hurt or... I don't know how to justify this.
I'd rather get hurt by this ex-girlfriend than wind up with a new girl named Ron Wilson.
Who's another American coach that's good?
Peter Laviolette.
How is he not the coach?
I don't know.
His teams are good. The Predators have been... And you know what's kind of funny? I feel like Laviolette doesn't get enough credit for the success he's had in Nashville, because that roster is good up to now. Now it's elite.
Yeah.
But there are holes in that roster. Pekka Rinne hasn't been quite himself in the last two and a half years.
That's right.
That forward group isn't incredibly, deep. I mean, even up until last season.
There is a significant drop-off after the second line.
I think he's really brought them up, and the numbers kind of speak for themselves. He's made them one of the best possession teams in the NHL.
And very, very, very quick side note.
I love side notes.
We were talking about news, the new captain of the Nashville Predators is...
Mike Fisher.
Mike Fisher.
Mr. Underwood.
Mr. Underwear. Underwood, sorry.
Anyway, And, he's also won a Stanley Cup, with a not loaded team, just like John Tortorella.
Yeah. Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's not insult Peter Laviolette like that. But yeah.
By comparing him to Tortorella.
Yeah. But coming back to Team USA, the actual roster in this World Cup of Hockey, and, to all the people who are doubting this tournament, who are like, it's a cash grab, this and that. Look, professional sports is a cash grab.
Yeah.
Everything in this world, to some degree, is a cash grab. So, like, you're going to have to come up with something a little better to, like, convince me not to watch this. I'm sorry.
Man, we didn't even name the fourth line yet.
Okay. The fourth line. James Van Riemsdyk, who, like, kind of should be on the second line.
Yeah, he's actually good.
David Backes, who kind of shouldn't be on the team. I don't know.
But, you know, on the fourth line.
Fourth line, sure, whatever. But no, but that's the thing. It's not sure, whatever. It's, like, it's best on best. You can't afford to have holes. Anyway, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole. And then Brandon Dubinsky. Like, sure.
I would take him on the fourth line for Team USA.
Yeah, and then Kyle Palmieri as a 13th forward probably should be...
Replacing Abdelkader?
Yes. Or perhaps even Oshie, maybe?
Dubinsky?
It would be Abdelkader or Dubinsky.
Yeah.
If there was someone better there than Abdelkader, like if Abdelkader was not on the roster, then maybe, but...
And then, okay, so I think clearly Team USA's forwards are lacking. Really good top-end talent. The depth isn't there. My biggest concern with this team isn't so much that there's a lack of talent per se, because I think like guys like Kessler are certainly capable of playing that defensive game, but I just want to know, where's the scoring going to come from? And that's my biggest concern.
With the scoring... I mean, this isn't much of a point because, you know, Team USA doesn't give us a lot to work with. The only way it pays off for them, like, the team they put together, if physically their style interrupts what other teams are trying to throw at them, and then they can just capitalize off of, you know, neutral zone and, you know, offensive zone turnovers, and then just go back very quickly at... the other team. That's the only way that the roster they put together pays off, and which is what, you know, that's the image they had in their mind, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Matchups are going to matter for Team USA.
Well, that's the thing is, look, I hate to go back to this every podcast, and I don't actually hate it because I keep doing it, so clearly the hate isn't that strong, but in a short tournament, scoring is the greatest, most important, most influential skill you can have, because what's the most games you can play in this tournament? Like eight at the most?
Yeah.
Like, is it even eight? Like, it might be six.
So
nine at the most, let's say, whatever.
How is it?
You need to be able to score.
You're playing three games in your group, and then I believe one game cross conference for the first and second place of the group, and then the two winners
play best of three.
Best of three. So I think the most is possibly seven.
Yeah. So you don't play that many games. Yeah, so you got to score.
Yeah. It's not like the regular season where you have time to play your way out of a slump. You don't have that luxury in a short tournament.
Well, I mean, it's also kind of a cautionary tale. Like, maybe teams should focus more on scoring, even in a bigger sample size.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it is the name of the game. Like, I mean, score more goals than the other team.
That's kind of how you win hockey games, is by scoring more goals than the other team. I don't know.
That was Dallas' strategy. Hot take. That was Dallas' strategy this past season.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is...
They had to because they didn't have goaltending. But
and that's the thing is you have to sort of... It's contextual. Like, yes, you have to score more, obviously, to win, but... You have to win in other areas. You have to limit the other team from scoring.
I mean, look at Canada in the Olympics. They could have easily won 1-0.
Which they did.
And just dominate.
Yeah.
You know, one goal scored, dominate the whole game.
Yeah. And that's the thing is you can, but when you're as good as Canada is, you can choose how you win.
Yeah.
Which not a lot of teams have this. So let me ask you this question. If you were the coach of Team USA, what's the game plan? What's, like, how do you get the most out of this roster? This is the hand you're dealt. You can't call up Phil Kessel from, you know, his golf course or wherever he's at. You got to make do with this roster. What is the game plan?
Because I
have something in mind, but I want to hear what you guys think.
Well, I have something in mind, too. Can you go Tonya Harding style and just, like, lead pipe, like, kneecap everyone?
No. Justin Abdelkader is on the team. So
I think the way the roster is constructed, the best chance of success they have at getting the puck and then entering the zone is neutral zone trap.
Yeah. But see, here's I think that's not a bad point. Here's how I would approach it. I would say with those maybe bottom three lines, you want to play more of a defensive style, but I think when it's the first line out there, even maybe the second line with Parisi, Stepan, and Wheeler, I want it to be go, go, go. Like just up tempo, quick passes out of the defensive zone, shots on net. Play a really simple up and down game. You know? Like, I hate to sound like a cliche broadcaster here, but pucks on net, bodies in front, you know, easy passes out of the neutral zone. Don't try to do anything fancy, right? And if you're a Jack Johnson or whatever, maybe just chip it out. Because I think they have the defensive chops to limit chances to the outside. Like, you know, they have Ryan Kessler, and I think he's still a good defensive center.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting paid like a good defensive center. He's getting paid like an all-star. But that's a separate discussion. But I think there's a strategy. There's at least an equation here that they could implement to win a few games. I think even if you get the most juice out of this orange, you still don't win the tournament. And yeah, that was a little weird.
That was an interesting analogy.
That's something I've never heard, but I like it.
No, but you know why I'm saying that? Because I've been drinking a lot of freshly pressed orange juice. And there's a difference between freshly squeezed and freshly pressed. It's because freshly squeezed is usually the actual juice like that you buy off the shelves. Freshly pressed is where you actually press an orange into the juice form.
Yeah, right.
It's a lot healthier. Anyway.
And that is...
Health tips on the Garage Hockey Podcast. Hey, want to get that six-pack? Listen to the Garage Hockey Podcast.
we are sponsored by oranges. Oranges, they grow out of the ground.
Cuties? And hey, Cuties could be a sponsor.
Yes, hopefully, one day.
But yeah, I think there is a way to get something out of this roster. Look, they have the goaltending. Like, I know I'm the biggest Jonathan Quick hater, perhaps, well, at this table, definitely. But I think in this sort of frame, in a short tournament, I need to, like, in a brief tournament,
he is good at what he does.
He can make a difference.
Here's the thing. Yeah, like you said, I think they have three goaltenders that can steal a game for them, and it might just take one game.
But the problem is, that's what we think. That's what we would do. Do we trust John Tortorella to get the maximum out of this lineup?
No.
And even if, let's say, we were coaching, you know, and I'm not saying we would be great head coach or anything, but or if we were to just input our strategies into, like, this thing.
If we were to give advice to an actual head coach.
Yeah. Like, even if this team played to its fullest potential, I still don't think they have the guns to compete with the Swedens, the Canadas, the Russias, hell, even the North Americas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, all those teams are better than Team USA.
They just have a lot more skill.
Right.
And that's what hockey is about.
Top to bottom, they have more depth and more skill.
I mean, look at this team. Look, I have a lot of love for Dustin Byfuglien. I just think he's all alone on that blue line in terms of offensive prowess. I think John Carlson is certainly up there in terms of his ability to move the puck, make smart passes in the offensive zone. But that's a huge step down from a guy like Byfuglien.
Yeah, he's just not as explosive as Dustin Byfuglien.
It's interesting the way rosters are put together now because, you know, like you said, it's all about skill. And, you know, that is the case. But, you know, when you think about putting all-star teams together, you know, you sort of think about when the Soviets were in their heyday. Well, when the Soviets existed.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, Canada, the NHL would put all-star teams together and still lose to them.
Yeah.
Because the Soviets actually ran a structured system.
No, that's
and
fair.
Now that teams all run a system of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, it's second nature. Like, it's implemented across the board. So you can put all-star teams together now and get better results than in the past.
Yes, that is a great point. No, that's an excellent point. Because that's the thing is, the Soviets were doing... Because back in the 70s and the 80s, hell, even the 90s, you know, hockey didn't look anything like it does today.
No,
it was a lot more loose.
It was more end-to-end score on the rush or produce, you know, on the rush.
There wasn't a whole lot of strategy.
It was hitting, and then scoring would come of it.
Yeah. And
that was it.
And the Soviets were the first really the first modern team to implement a full-on X's and O's system. And they did it. I mean, the amount of gold medals they won speaks for itself. And you know, there's also the fact that these guys were straight-up professional athletes. Like, this is all they did for a living.
Yeah.
Year-round, they trained for hockey. You know, you read any of the – you listen to any of the interviews or articles about the teams from that era, and it's fascinating just the level of commitment they had to just winning gold medals. Like, that was the – That was the only metric for their success was, are you going to bring us gold? And they did it.
I like that. The only metric for success is achieving the highest measure of success.
Yeah. But, you know, in a way, that's how it should be, right?
Yeah.
NHL teams don't see it that way, but it's a little different, right? But
that's because money is involved.
But certainly, yeah. And so Joe makes a good point. Like, nowadays, you can put those all-star teams together and teams know, the players will kind of figure it out. And I think the more talented players you put together, you know, the talent kind of works itself out. Guys, you know, if you put a bunch of smart, skilled players together, they're going to figure out how to play together.
And
like, I don't think it's this huge gamble.
And look no further than the North America team.
Oh, I mean, and we were just watching, as previously mentioned, the game before this. And, you know, it didn't look super organized, but they were just creaming.
Like, their speed and their skill beat up on Europe, like just those two things.
And Europe isn't like bad. I think they don't look great right now. Andre Kopitar's line looks great.
Yeah,
yeah. Kopitar, Bodker, and Zuccarello,
they look awesome. They look great. But the point is, you know, and I think it speaks a little bit to the generational gap. I think guys in that, you know, the millennial guys who grew up in that U23 range really are the product of this systems-driven era. Like, I think as early as 16, 15 years old, coaches are drilling systems into these players' heads.
Not even that, 13, 14.
13, 14. And so, whereas in Europe, I know this for a fact, coaches focus a lot more on individual skills, focus a lot more on understanding, I don't want to say the nuance of the game, but just sort of how to flip the game on its head in any given moment, right? Mm. With individual skill. Whereas in North America, whether it's USA or Canada, you're more taught how do I fit into a system instead of how do I, in a certain way, become the system. And I think you watch this team North America, and it's the happy medium. It's the best of both worlds, because they have the individual skill, they have the speed, and they have that ability to understand how to play together. Like, man, I don't know how this team doesn't finish somewhere in the top three. All that to say.
Well, I mean, I thought about that, and I would be surprised if they finished outside the top three for Team North America.
Because that's the thing is, like Joe was saying while we were watching the game, like, you know, they did look kind of sloppy. Like, they didn't look at their best, but at the same time, like, once they hit their stride, it's going
to
be scary.
Right. Yeah. And Joe and I were talking about it on the way here to the studio.
The garage studio. Yep.
Is that this was only their first game. They're going to have more practices. They're going to have more games. They're going to gel more. They're going to learn the way that the coaches want them to play.
And you know what's interesting also? And I'm a proud Canadian, right? And I will be rooting for Team Canada, even though Marc Bergevin is part of the management group. But...
Sorry.
I'm still recovering.
Oh, that's why we went out last weekend, so you could forget about it.
Anyway, but I honestly wonder how much better would Canada have done in this matchup? Like, because that's the sense I got.
Team North America?
No, against Team Europe. Because I got the sense when I was watching North America, Europe, like, man, North America is beating up on them, and like...
They're not doing anything special. They're just relying on talent.
Like this feels like one of those matchups where it's one of the best teams against one of the worst teams. I don't know how much better Canada would have done. And, you know, obviously a team with Sidney Crosby, Joe Thornton, Drew Doughty. I mean, whoever you name, like, they have the name recognition. They have the talent. Of course, they would have done just as good, maybe if not better. But like, North America looked to be in that class.
Yeah,
like they didn't look like they were anywhere outside of that top three, top four.
And the thing you have to think about with North America, the thing you always hear about, well, not always, but when people are saying, you know, this is the direction the game is going, you know, it's getting away from the physical aspect and going more towards the finesse. And you look at that 23 and under team, that's what they are.
I mean, this is the product of 21st century hockey.
They are the future of the game, all in one team.
And the present, I'd argue.
Yeah.
Because I think what wins in the NHL now, I mean, look at the teams that are winning.
Chicago.
It's the teams with youngsters.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that today's hockey player, you know, this U23 team, it's just such a perfect combination. And it's almost like they're coming out of a lab, because now more than ever, these guys from a very young age, look no further than Steven Stamkos, focus entirely on nutrition, fitness, something that guys never did back in the day.
No.
Even up until like the 90s. You know, they understand the systems, the way the game works, and then they're just so, you know, they're so overcoached with the skills that you get these guys who just look like perfect hockey players.
And that's the thing that I know I've brought up with the two of you before, from just watching the youth leagues.
And you see it because you've worked, you know, like these high level youth tournaments, like midget AAA or whatever.
Watching the midget AAA tournaments, all of the players look identical.
Yeah.
Like from the top line.
They can all skate.
They can all skate. They all have hands. They can all shoot. It's like, just plug any one of them in. They all look the same and they can all play.
Yeah. And so this is a good litmus test for where hockey is headed. You know, like, this is sort of like the grand experiment, right? Mm-hmm. How is this team getting to do all, they're all born out of these circumstances. I think they're going to do great.
Yeah.
If they finished, I can see them, they could certainly win Team North America. They could win it all. If they finished outside the top three, I would be shocked.
Because someone made the point to me on Twitter the other day, like, and Twitter is not a great litmus test for, like, things that matter. Or things I should be worrying about. But it's like, oh, why would these guys care about playing together? And I think, why wouldn't they? Like, as a young guy, like, you know, our age, like 23 and under, it's like, why wouldn't you, like, this is the greatest challenge you've ever faced. It's like, you've grown up watching these guys, and now you get to play them on your own team. Like, this is a dream. This is dream.
Premier
smiley face, smiley face.
Shout out to Tomas Hertl.
I, you know, 23 and under, these guys coming into the league, all they hear about are the comparisons to other players.
Yeah, and now they get to destroy and their those futures. Players.
And this is their opportunity for the best players of, you know, their age.
I mean, some of their, like,
to prove themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, they grew up idolizing these guys. Like Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and now they get to play against them, and not just in an NHL game, some random cross-conference game, but, like, a big spotlight, you know? Like, I fully believe that this World Cup of Hockey is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it'll replace the Olympics, but I think it's on its way. Maybe in 10 or so years.
With the Olympics, I don't care if the professionals go over and play for the Olympics, as long as there's some tournament like the World Cup where the professionals are playing.
Yeah, because that's what I want to see.
Yeah, because my dad brings this up. I think he would rather see amateurs because I think that's technically what the Olympics is about.
Sure,
but to me,
so put the amateurs in the Olympics, like whatever.
Yeah, well, to me, and maybe it's just because it's a generational difference, but to me, the Olympics should be about the best athletes in the world.
It should be the peak of athletic performance.
So should be the pros.
And the amateurs can't provide that. They just can't.
Exactly. So would I rather see the NHLers in the Olympics? Yes. But if they stop going to the Olympics, I could not care less, as long as I get to see the pros in some international tournament. So if all we get is the World Cup with the pros, I'm more than happy with that.
I mean, the very reason that these guys, you know, are not amateurs and are professionals is because they're better.
Yeah.
That's why they're getting paid, is because they can provide something that the amateur level players cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm entirely stoked for this thing, and this first day of games is really turning me on to that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. And, you know, getting back to the model that we were talking about with North American players and the direction the game is headed with player development, is it a positive thing?
What, this tournament? Or
No. I mean, just the way that I think USA Hockey and Canada Hockey are sort of deciding to, or actually it's Hockey Canada.
Yeah.
Hockey Canada and USA Hockey are the governing bodies. in both countries. But is it a good thing the way they're developing players?
Well, I mean, I like it because the way it's trending.
I think there are legitimate critiques of it.
Yeah. Well, what I've seen is there's the American development model for USA Hockey, and that's
the blue pucks.
Yeah. Well, for the really little guys.
Yeah.
But the big thing about the American development model is the small area games.
Yeah, half rink.
Yeah,
whatever it's called.
Not even that. Like, just sometimes it's just a corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just half of the offensive zone.
Yeah.
And you're forcing guys to work on their hands, their skating, their agility, and they don't even know it because they're too busy competing. Because
they have to win that specific drill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest things that helped my game, like you said, small area, is, you know, just doing one-on-one in a corner, you know, just trying to keep the puck or, you know, if you don't have it, trying to get it away from someone else.
No, I really think small area, like, applies to any sport. Like, when I played rugby in college, we would do scrimmages at the end of practice, right? So just we divide up the guys in the field. We have two teams going at it. And what our coach would do is he would decrease the size of the field like every 5 to 10 minutes. So we'd get to a certain point where the field was tiny, and it's like as soon as you get the ball, you're getting crushed. And on the flip side of that, if you're defending, you're always getting a guy in your face trying to get past you, and you just have to learn, like, I gotta either, you know, it's like you're either the hammer or the nail. And I think in hockey it's the same thing. Like, if you're in a small area drill, you have to find a way to work your way around those guys.
Well, that's what offense is all about in hockey, is creating your own time and space.
Yeah.
And yeah, that'd be a very interesting concept in practice.
So I think that this model is a good one, and I think it's clearly yielding some good results. I mean, we're seeing it with this U23 team. They're all good.
Yeah, all of them.
Like, that's the thing that really strikes me about Team North America, as opposed to, I don't know, Team USA.
Team USA.
Or literally any team, like even Team Canada, which is supposed to be the pinnacle. There are no weak links on this team. There is not one player you can point to.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because for Team North America, Vincent Trocheck was added just a few days ago, and he looked like one of the better players on the team today.
Yeah, he looked great. And even Ryan Murray, like,
yeah,
is supposedly, like, statistically their worst defenseman, but is still pretty decent defenseman. Mm-hmm. Like, he might be better than Shea Weber.
Don't tell anyone.
Obligatory Shea Weber reference.
Yeah, no, it's got to be done.
Is that 10 episodes in a row now that
is this episode 10?
This is double digits for
is
us.
Is this episode 10?
Dude, raise a glass.
Oh,
boys.
My God. Raise your glasses.
Yo, pour one out for the Garage Hockey Pod.
I cannot believe we didn't mention that until now.
Man, we lasted 10. By the way, because we've been meaning to mention this. You may recognize our intro music.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one.
We sat around talking about what we wanted the intro music to sound like. At first, we talked about...
Awesome.
Yeah. And under the umbrella of awesome prevailed sort of a chill hip-hop kind of beat.
Yeah.
We thought that's what we might go for. And then we just scoured around the internet on Google and found a website with a ton of royalty-free music. And we landed on the one that we ultimately ended up using. We just really liked it. We thought it was the right vibe. It sounded cool. We used it. Days later, less than a week later, McDonald's came out with their Gilroy garlic fries. And shout out to Gilroy, because...
down the road.
Gilroy is just down the road, maybe like 20 minutes.
Friend of the show, yeah, Gilroy.
Gilroy is a
friend. Hey, shout out to Gilroy for being the first city that's a friend of the show.
Yes, first city that's a friend of the show. And also...
you beat Santa Clara, which is where we're actually recording this. So.
And we love Santa Clara.
It's cool.
We like it. I like it. But also shout out to garlic, because garlic... first of all, oranges are the first friend of the show, as we established about 54 minutes ago.
What's going on?
But McDonald's came out with their Gilroy garlic fries, and they used... the same music that we use for this very podcast.
So whoever they paid a lot of money to come up with their music went out and paid very little money and said, here you go, this is what I came up with.
I want to take a deep dive into this topic because I'm fed up with talking about Team USA. I want to talk about something more important. McDonald's is a highly successful fast food chain. They're all over the world. I mean, they've been around. They've made a ton of money. And they spent $49 on this song. Because I know how much that thing cost, because that's how much we paid for this song.
Yes.
They paid they could literally afford to have Kanye West get in the studio and record a song for them. Like that's how rich they are.
Like, Kanye could have come in, he could have done...
Like, literally any major artist. I just said Kanye because he's on my mind.
I mean, well, no, it could have been Kanye coming in to do a collab with Diplo Hardwell and the corpse of Frank Sinatra.
Like, yeah, like, they could have gotten Bieber. Like, just think of a big name in music right now. Like, they could have gotten anyone, and they spent $49. They might... I think they make $49 every, like, 10 seconds or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, 10 seconds at the most, considering global chain.
Yeah. Think of how many McDonald's there are.
So
think if they overprice their burgers to $4.90.
But maybe this is why McDonald's is so successful, is because they're cheap as hell.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing right now is that the Garage Hockey Podcast has really good business sense.
We're outspending McDonald's. If you look at the percentages.
We are.
Okay. All right. So, moving on from Team USA, another team that played today. Well, US didn't play, but a team that played today, Team Finland.
Finland. We got to talk Finland.
Yes.
We have to. We owe it to the people.
We owe it to Finland.
Of Helsinki.
Helsinki.
Yes, the capital. You know, actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I'd love to visit Scandinavia someday. Like, just tour, like, what is it, the five countries of Scandinavia?
It's kind of where my heritage is from.
Yeah, was it Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland? Is Iceland considered part of Scandinavia?
No, it has to be.
Is it?
I mean, I don't think it's officially Scandinavia, but it's part of Europe. Considered part of Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I mean, they're all Scandinavians by heritage, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Team Finland looks pretty good. Dare I say, looks really good.
It got chippy today.
It got chippy. So who was the guy that boarded Victor Hedman?
Yeah, who's wearing number 28 for Team Finland?
I can actually find this out.
You go.
Because we saw that Leo Komarov was during the pod.
But it wasn't him.
Of course he was.
No, it wasn't him. But
Leo Komarov, what a tool.
But he was during the pod.
It was not him.
And it didn't go unnoticed in the garage.
It didn't.
You will not hear me say one good thing about Leo Komarov.
I mean, he's not a bad player. It's just
he's a very good player.
Like, when it comes to just playing hockey itself, he's actually a respectable player. It's just
he's had major concussions and he's still headshots.
Well, I know. Like, that's what, like, I'm not speaking to that. I'm saying when it comes to just playing hockey, he's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into the lineup of Team Finland. Very quality lineup. I don't think that's actually proper English. Very quality. It's a quality lineup.
Quality does not need a modifier.
Anyway, so first line, Jussi Jokinen, who I love. Jussi Jokinen has been one of the better forwards in the NHL for his entire career. Quietly very productive. Also one of the very first guys to make the shootout interesting. Centered on that first line by Alex Barkov. Some may call him Sasha Barkov. Truly a standout center for the Florida Panthers.
He scored a nice goal today.
There were 10 combined power play opportunities in this game.
Really? Yeah. Well, so let's continue on the lineup. Patrick Laine, at 18 years of age.
Oh, Winnipeg's got to be...
On the first line. Yeah, so that's an impressive first line, a lot of skill. Second line, Leo Komarov on the left wing, scored 19 goals last season. With Mikko Koivu and Michael Granlund, again, like a pretty good line. The third line, Jonas Donskoi, your boy. I actually really like Jonas Donskoi. I like his game. I think he's a really cerebral player. And then that line is centered by Jori Latera. And then on the right side, you got Toivo Teravainen. That's another really good line.
That line is kind of a who's who of really young, talented Finnish players.
Yeah, although Donskoy is like, what, 24?
He's secretly 24. No, 23?
No, I think he's 24.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then on the fourth line, you have Erik Haula, Valtteri Filppula, and Lauri Korpikoski.
Oh, I thought you were going to rhyme there.
Yeah. So, I don't know who's 28. I don't know what you're referring to.
Maybe it was line A. Maybe it was 29.
But yeah.
I thought it said 28, though.
But yeah, so I love this forward group. I think from top to bottom, any line can chip in a little scoring, which is more than you can say from USA standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then moving on to their blue line, Olli Maatta, Sami Vatanen. That's a really good pairing.
Excellent.
Puck moving. Although, you know, it's interesting because for anyone who follows me on Twitter, or if you don't, it doesn't really matter. I've been doing a series of previews for every player on the Ducks roster, and I've had to do a lot of research looking at a lot of stats, and Sami Vatanen isn't that great defensively. When he's on the ice, the Ducks give up a lot of shot attempts. Now, he kind of makes up for it with his offensive side, but it's interesting, and you know, part of that might be driven by the guys he's paired with, but it is interesting, though, considering how much love he gets from mainstream hockey media circles.
Well, if anyone had come up to me and said, hey, do you think Sami Vatanen is a really good defensive defenseman?
No, yeah.
Or really good in his own zone? Like, I wouldn't have pegged him as that.
I mean, like, the few times that I've been in the Ducks locker room when I've covered games, I've stood next to Sami Vatanen, and I'm 5'7", and I swear, he's, like, barely taller than me. Without skates on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it kind of makes sense that he would be a little weaker in his own end.
Yeah. And it's like what you've been saying. When you're producing offensively the way he does, then you can live with that.
Yeah, but then after that pairing, there's a bit of a drop-off. Esa Lindell for the Dallas Stars, who I've actually never heard of.
Neither have I.
Rasmus Ristolainen.
And not hearing of a defenseman on the Stars is saying something.
Rasmus Ristolainen, who is one of the better young defensemen in the NHL. That's a quality guy to have on your blue line. And then you got the third pairing with Jyrki Jokipaka.
Good pronunciation.
And Sami Lepisto. And then Ville Poka as the seventh defenseman. So, I don't know too much about those last few guys, but I think what they have at the top of that defense core is good enough to get them by.
Yeah.
They're certainly going to be able to move the puck. I'm a little worried about how they're going to be able to actually defend, but the way their forwards look, I think it won't be a huge, huge problem.
No, I agree. And Maatta, Vatanen, like you said, they're going to move the puck out of the zone. They should have a good power play.
Yeah, and Vatanen can score. He's a good goal scorer as a defenseman.
Yeah,
legitimately. He's got a heavy shot.
Yeah, which you wouldn't expect from a guy his size.
Yeah,
but so it's there.
Yeah, so their blue line, I wouldn't say it's great, but I would say it's respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it better than USA's?
I'd
say it's right there.
It's
maybe a little bit better.
Yeah. If I had to pick between the two, I think I would pick Team Finland.
Yeah, and we don't know too much about those last few guys, so that plays into it.
Yeah.
We have a better idea of like who Erik Johnsson is, for better or worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But so, you know, not bad on the blue line. And then obviously in net, you have your usual suspects, Pekka Rinne, Tuukka Rask, and then, not so usual, Mikko Koskinen, who's had a cup of coffee in the NHL, but has largely played overseas. I'm getting the sense Tuukka Rask will be the starter for Finland.
He should be the starter. Yeah,
he probably should be.
Pekka Rinne started today. I don't know if that's an indicator of who
knows what they're leaning
towards.
It's exhibition. They're going. It's like, you know, the preseason. They're just going to, like, I believe Finland shuffled through. No, Sweden shuffled through maybe all their goalies, but at least they replaced.
Oh, in one game?
Yeah. Like, they actually used multiple goals.
Yeah, because I saw that Markstrom played today for Team Sweden.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And I think he was replaced by Anwar.
So, what are the thoughts on Team Finland? Is this a team that can make any noise, or are they just sort of there?
I think they'll probably...
What's the general consensus?
I think they'll probably be relegated to playing spoiler.
I mean, I think that's their role. I think that's kind of always their role.
Yeah, because when you look at the top tier in this tournament, the top tier is Russia, Canada, North America, I think, and Sweden.
No, I think Finland has the ability to play spoiler. I think they can get goaltending. I think Rask and Rene have proven in the past to be able to carry a team on their backs for a period of time. But it's just hard to see this team really going that far, because the thing is, they have a lot of quality players, but they're not necessarily goal scorers.
And
they're certain, you know, the playmakers, they can provide offense, but I don't know if they're really truly goal scorers, and I think that might hold this team back. But I think they're capable of winning a few games, maybe scaring a really good team? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't know why anyone would really say otherwise.
Yeah, I think they may have to play more of a low scoring, like defensive,
which is weird because like their entire lineup is sort of geared towards offense.
Yeah, it's just that when you compare their offense to other teams' offenses,
yeah,
it doesn't quite stack up.
Yeah, so I think the consensus here is that Finland. I'd say I put Finland over like a Czech Republic.
I would too.
And a team Europe.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, like Joe sort of alluded to this earlier, like structure, systems. I think Finland does have an identity as a team.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they've played together before. They won a bronze medal at the last Olympics in Sochi, and I think it was a bit of an emotional bronze medal. It was Timu's last international stint, or at least run. And that was a big deal for them to get him a gold medal. And they're a nation that really cares about hockey.
Yeah.
And so I think that there is a bit of an identity, some culture on that team. So they're going to have that cohesion. They're going to have that sort of us against the world mentality.
Like, there's going to be a drive there that, you know, might be lacking for some of the...
Like a Team Europe, you know, maybe even like a Team North America to some degree. Because I think there is that Finnish national identity.
Yeah, which, there's definitely pride in this tournament for them.
Yeah, and will that be tangible? We'll see. But I think they're certainly capable, you know, like making the semifinal. I don't think it's out of the question for them.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I can see them, best case scenario, because we've been talking about that. I can see them sneaking into the top three. But I think fourth place is probably reasonable.
I just can't see them making the final.
I don't either.
No.
And I can't see them winning the final. Because I can't see them beating like a Sweden or a Canada three, like two out of three times.
If it's Sweden.
But who knows? I mean, that's the beauty of these tournaments, is that weird stuff can happen.
I don't think it can be Sweden, though, because they're in the same group.
Like in an 82-game season with like a 20-something game playoff, like, you know, sort of randomness gets washed out. But still, you never know. Like in a short tournament like this, I like what Finland has enough to at least put them in conversation.
Yeah,
so that's the most praise I think I can give them.
Yeah, I agree. There's just so much talent above them.
Yeah, yeah. Finland's good. We'll see though. Really excited for this tournament. Really pumped that hockey is back and that we're gonna have something to talk about. New stuff. We're not just talking about 2015-16. We're officially into 2016-17. So. You know, looking forward to getting into it and having everybody along the way.
Start of a long season.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. It's been a long summer.
It's been a really long time coming.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we're done, guys.
I think we're done, guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. We hope that you will subscribe to us on iTunes and on Stitcher. We are also on Twitter if you want to see what we're throwing out into the void that is Twitter. We're always...
Big void.
Yeah, we're always talking, and sometimes people respond and sometimes people don't, but we keep on talking anyway. We are also on Snapchat at Garage Hockey Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. And until next time, thanks for listening.